The sermonette's title today is All the World is Guilty. Now, that may be a strange title, but God told mankind what is good and what is right, and what is bad and what is evil. And God commands all people to choose what is good and to reject what is wrong. But most refuse to make the right choice. Why is that? Now we read that God hasn't given most people a heart to understand. And we read, of course, that Satan has deceived the whole world and that the entire world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We also read that Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded people so that they may think killing and going to war is good, stealing is good, committing adultery is good, fornication is good, and that would include extramarital sex or premarital sex, living together without being married. All of that is good. Abortion is good. Homosexuality is good. Smoking is good. Taking mind-altering drugs is good. Eating unclean meat is good, and the list is without end. The point is, Satan has corrupted the minds of the people, and that would include professing Christians who believe that God's law has been done away with. So, are the people then without fault? Are they guiltless? Are they innocent victims of higher powers? Helpless pawns in the hands of gods and demons? Not at all. God says that all the world is guilty in his eyes. You can look at this later in Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. All the world is guilty in his eyes. Now guilt, here comes the legal definition, guilt requires some kind of intentional or at least criminally negligent conduct. It doesn't correspond with innocence. Now, why is the whole world guilty in God's eyes? Let us turn to John chapter 8 and verse 43. Here, Jesus Christ is talking to the people at his time, and he's asking them a very pertinent question. John 8 and verse 43, "Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word." You are not able. You could say God didn't give you a heart to understand. But why? Why were they not able? Why didn't God give them a heart to understand? Well, the next verse tells you. Verse 44. "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." You want to do. And then he talks about some of those desires. He was a murderer from the beginning. Doesn't stand in the truth. There's no truth in him. And he speaks a lie. He speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. The point I want to make is, the people want to do the desires, or as other translations have it, the lusts of the devil. Now, the Revised English Bible says, "You choose to carry out your father's desire." A choice is being made. And in this case, a choice is wanting to carry out the desires of their father, the devil. Now, this warning applies to true Christians as well. Don't think that it only applies to those who have not been called yet. Notice 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. It says, "A time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires. Did you catch that? According to their own desires. Because they want to do the desires of their father, the devil. Because of their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their eyes away from the truth. They will choose to turn away their eyes from the truth. So they must have had some kind of an understanding of the truth. And it says, and they will be turned aside to fables. And that is especially true for our times today. Notice this in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, beloved, I now write to you the second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, verse 3, that scoffers will come in the last days. Scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. Did you get that? Walking according to their own lusts. And saying, verse 4, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Verse 5. For this they willfully forget. Willfully forget. That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Here is the culpability again. Walking by their own desires and willfully forgetting. The Authorized Version says, they are willfully ignorant. The NIV says, they deliberately forget. The RSV says, they deliberately ignore. The Amplified Bible says, they willfully overlook and forget. The Luther Bible, 1984, says, they do not want to know. The German Gute Nachricht says, they do not want to admit. You have the Wymouth New Testament translation saying, they are willfully blind. The best rendition, I believe, can be found in the Phillips translation saying, they are deliberately shutting their eyes to a fact that they know very well. Let me repeat this. They are deliberately shutting their eyes to a fact that they know very well. And the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary states, they do not wish to know. Their ignorance is voluntary. So they could know. They do know. The world does know. But they don't want to admit it. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Here Paul talks about the same kind of attitude. He says, for since the creation of the world, his, God's, invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Notice this. To believe in evolution, for example, you have no excuse for believing this wrong concept. They are without excuse, because that's what Paul is talking about here. But he goes on to say in verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. They didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. The New Revised Standard Version says, he has given them up to their own deprived way of thinking. Why? Because they didn't like to retain God in their knowledge. And they are without excuse to reject God. Why deception at all? Why do people listen to deception? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Why are they guilty in God's eyes? This really is a question. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and beginning in verse 9. This is another prophecy for the future, not so much a far distant future, though. The coming of the lawless one, the man of sin, as he is also called, the false prophet, as he is also called, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because, here we go, they did not receive the love of the truth. Why didn't they receive the love of the truth? Verse 11, for this reason God will send some strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The lusts of their father they want to do. That's why their father can bring in deception. The Revised English Bible translates, they made sinfulness their choice. Again, it's a choice. They choose to be unrighteous, living an unrighteous way, following their pleasures. You know, it's only an issue between righteousness and unrighteousness. All of God's commandments are defined as righteousness. We read that this will be our righteousness if we are careful to obey all of God's commandments. It was because of God's righteousness that Jesus came to magnify the law and make it great and honorable. And so God tells his people who are called out of this sinful, guilty world to always keep in mind what it means to be one of God's disciples. Let's notice this in Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51, beginning in verse 7. He says, listen to me, you who know righteousness, you people in whose heart is my law. Do not fear the reproach of men, nor be afraid of their revilings, for the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. There is no righteousness apart from God's law. We have a choice, as all people have a choice. Will we choose wrongly and continue to be guilty in the eyes of God? Or will we choose rightly so that our guilt can be removed?